Hey, it's the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host today. And my guest, old friend, and he's been busy lately and been trying to get him in the studio for a while, Kevin Wayne Gruen. Welcome, Kevin.
Great to be here.
Yes. Gosh dang it. It was just a year ago that you were... performing, you opened up for Bailey Zimmerman at, do you pronounce it the Stifle Theater?
The Stifle. I've heard people say it's a Stifle. I think they're wrong.
Okay. Yeah, we'll call it the Stifle Theater.
Stifle.
Boy, that's a beautiful place.
It is, absolutely.
Yes. And we went there to hear you. And And Ernest also.
Ernest was there. I was really excited about that. You know, when Bailey Zimmerman came out, though, the songs he was writing, I mean, were just really good. You know, songwriting sort of songs.
Does he write his own stuff?
You know what's crazy about him, right? He came from Louisville, Illinois. I think they call it Louisville out there, though.
Yeah.
And he came up on TikTok. He was doing diesel piping or something. He was an engineer of some sort, like a basic, I guess, tech engineer, not necessarily an engineer. But anyways... He didn't even know how to play guitar, and he came up on TikTok. He was just posting every single day.
Yeah.
I think this was back in 2020 or so.
I'll be darned.
And, that was big. That was his rise to fame.
I'll be darned. He's done really well, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Now, whenever you opened for him, what was that like as far as playing to Stifle and being around all those, you know, big time?
It was exhilarating, you know. Yeah. I mean, it was quicker than I'd expect, you know. I thought maybe we'd do other venues before we went straight to being able to do Stifle and open for Bailey Zimmerman and Ernest. It really opened my mind to the possibilities, and you're always just one or two connections away from, you know, that one person that can really put you in front of their audience that has, you know, whatever, hundreds of thousands of people or whatnot. You know, you're always... just a connection or two away from the right person seeing you in this business.
You've got how many songs have you written and produced?
Written and produced, it's right around 30. That's hundreds.
Hundreds.
Hundreds. I start songs every day.
You do.
And that's kind of an interesting part about being a songwriter is I never have a planned time to start a song. I let it come to me. It's one of the few things that, and, you know, scripts and stuff like that, I just let stories come to me.
Okay.
Out of the blue or from what I'm just doing in everyday life. And that's been part of my travel journey too, is just when I go out, I feel like I have to take in a lot to be able to put out something that, that is meaningful.
What was the first song that you ever wrote? Do you remember when you write something when you were a kid?
Oh,
or how long have you been playing?
I was a little kid. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, I think I was because my first instrument, I always joke and say it was drums.
Yeah,
whether or not you want to say I'm a drummer, but my dad was a drummer. I had this toy drum when I was 4 or 5 years old that he bought for I think Christmas or something, and in a year or so, I beat it half to death, and so. He got me an electric drum set the next year, and he said, here, try this out. And he put on Inagata DeVita and Black Sabbath and a bunch of the old metal because he was into that, you know. And funny enough, and then I live with my grandparents, and they were into old gospel and country. They were into Johnny Cash and Patsy Cline and Hank Sr. And they liked Elvis even, but they were big on Johnny Cash and Patsy Cline. So I got a mix of all kinds of stuff growing up. You know, everyone in my family played an instrument or sang, or my mom's a singer and my grandma taught me some piano. So, and I learned all this from them and through songs way before I ever learned music theory 19 years later or so.
I'll be darned. Now, didn't you grow up in the area?
I did. So I grew up just right down here on 16 and 111 in Piasaw.
Yeah.
So I lived in Medora for some years, and I grew up over there on Prairie Dell Road and off of 111 and 16.
And where are you living at now?
About 30 acres. Out in St. Charles.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. So you're still touring around, playing. You're a full-time musician,
Yep.
You're playing how many days? How many days a week or a year or whatever?
Oh, I'd say this month got a little bit slower, but every other week it seems to be like 6 or 7 gigs some weeks and like 4 or 5 the next week. So I don't know, anywhere between, I've said 4 to 11 for the past 4 or 5 years. And, you know, I think I've probably slowed down a little bit just because I'm, you naturally evolve into being a little more selective with, you know, venues. You don't play everywhere all the time. Mm-hmm. But you know, in the first few years I was doing this, gosh, I got to a point where I would say I was overbooked. I was doing, I think my peak year was 2023. I did 275 shows.
Yeah, that's
great. And this year will be 1200 shows across 48 states and 4 countries now. I guess technically I booked in 33 and performed in 33, so gotten to travel to the lower 48 playing.
Yeah, you did a tour this fall. Was it last fall?
No, this fall.
Yeah,
was the European tour.
Yeah,
right.
How'd that happen? How'd you go about booking that and getting into that?
Actually, I have to give a shout out to my sometimes bassist and producer, Paul Niehaus.
Yeah,
and he hooked me up with the guy who books out there. He books a bunch of St. Louis and a bunch of U.S., lots of blues acts, some country and Americana acts. And this venue route that he booked up across the Netherlands and Germany, they were really receptive to Americana music, you could say. Yeah. They really loved the old blues style and country and rock and roll, which if you've seen me live, you know that mm-hmm. I do all that. I mix it all together. I have a very rockabilly sort of sound. Some people call it Americana.
Now, when you went on this tour, were you traveling with other musicians as
Not
well?
Not this time. They'd like to get the full band next time, though, because what was really cool about these shows, right, is a lot of them were these ticketed theater shows, and it'd be like, oh, 200, 300 people show up and, you know, buy tickets. This one we did in Bavaria, or I did in Bavaria. I say we because I was opening for another band from Utah, actually.
Yeah.
So I opened from this for this, I guess you'd say, Americana band. They also sounded kind of like Western meets rock and roll, rockabilly, you know. They mm-hmm. had that sound, and they were from Utah. Trying to remember their names now. Anyways, so I had opened for them at this venue in Bavaria called Vesterhall. And it's been running continuously for 30 years, this venue. Mm-hmm. So the locals there all came out. I mean, they come out every time there's Americans, you know, town every year. And it was like, I think 200 and something, 300 tickets sold.
Wow.
Not a huge place like the Stifle, but big enough to hold 200 or 300 people. And, It was awesome. I mean, you could hear a pin drop practically in the place. I mean, other than, you know, the rock and roll and everybody dancing and everything, but just, you know, they were listening. They really loved the music and really receptive audiences. And in Germany and the Netherlands, they love to hear original songs.
Do they know English? You know, because you're singing the songs in English.
Oh, almost all of them. Yeah, especially Germany.
Yeah.
And the Netherlands. I mean, really, the Netherlands, it's hard to find somebody that doesn't speak English. Oh. And, yeah, most of Germany's that way. There were a few mountainous areas where it was pretty rural and they didn't speak any English. But, you know, the places I performed, yeah, they were big time New English.
And they treated you right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, some of the kindest venues ever.
Really? Good.
Yeah. I mean, they, you know, it was kind of funny at first when I was seeing this tour schedule. I didn't realize what kind of shows these would be. You know, you kind of show up 2 hours early in a lot of places in Europe, and they'll give you a dinner, and, you know, they want to sit down and know your life story. And it kind of makes sense because you think these guys traveled halfway around the world to be here, so they treat you like guests and in their home.
Yeah.
The places I was.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Kevin Wayne Gruen with me. One of the most more well-known musicians that I know of, that plays in the area, you know. I think we've known each other for several years, you know.
Yeah, at least four, about five years.
How did you end up playing for me at George's? Do you remember?
I was just talking to the guy who I had first gotten in contact with. It was Drew Schaefer.
Okay.
Actually, Drew Schaefer was the one who had first, I guess, got me in with you and George and Brenda.
Okay.
4 or 5 years back.
All right.
And, you know, shout out to Drew because he's an amazing artist in his own right.
Yeah, he is.
And he used to play up here all the time, apparently. So we've helped each other out with gigs over the years, and he's a really good artist.
So, you're getting ready, you know, you're getting ready to cut another record? Is that it?
So this
Tell next, me about that.
This next record, I'll just spill the beans on it, will be called Hourglass.
Yeah.
It's going to have the song I wrote about a year ago, right before the big Stifle Theater show, called Hourglass on it. And that'll be the title track. It'll be, I think, a 4-song record. So that's about all the gist of the album. I don't have an exact date that we're going to get in at the church yet, because I want to make sure the band's ready and everything. But it's a legacy studio, the church in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah,
and
tell me about that one, Oklahoma. Who started that?
Yeah, so the church in Tulsa was actually it was an old church from the early 1900s originally. Mm-hmm. But Leon Russell's from Tulsa. And it was actually a place that Leon Russell bought, and he refurbished it in the early 70s. He recorded his first record there, I think 1973, which is monumental. It's huge. Mm-hmm. And so ever since that, then people would come to perform there. Willie Nelson, I mean, Tom Petty, I'm trying to think of the others. George Harrison, Eric Clapton, they were friends. They used to hang out there.
What?
And
they would perform at this church.
Well, they'd both perform and they'd record all their songs.
Okay.
And Leon Russell, his big thing was that he'd built that because he was so tired of going into everybody else's studios and not really getting what he wanted and kind of being rushed on studio time, you know. Mm-hmm. Which, as a musician, I understand. I've recorded my own first record, which was kind of my testing zone, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, now I can record stuff a lot better, but yeah, I still go to a good producer to get it done, but it's difference between having your own studio like you guys are building here and having
you can
to
take your time.
Yeah, enough. Yeah, having to be on someone else's time. So that's kind of Leon Russell said that was his reason for building the church in Tulsa.
I see.
So I got to perform there July 22nd this year.
You did?
Yes.
Okay.
So that was another really cool show where I didn't realize it was going to be a packed crowd. It was probably like, 30, 50 people in a very small room, mm-hmm. but packed and just everybody sitting down, you know, hear a pin drop in there too. It was just a songwriter kind of session.
Yeah.
So just being an acoustic.
Now, what if people wanted to listen to your songs? Where would they go on the internet? Spotify,
any streaming service. Spotify. I have all my released music there. I always tell people to be patient because most of my music isn't released. I mean, probably now 60 to 70 songs I'm wanting to record. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of albums planned at this point where they're all.
Where's the other spot you can go to hear your music?
Oh, everywhere. I mean, YouTube, you know, I like YouTube a lot. That's how I listen to most of my music. So you got YouTube, Spotify. I have a distributor that just puts it out on like 30 to 40 platforms. So pretty much anywhere you could listen to music, you know, Pandora, Apple Music. It's almost all under Kevin Gruen, but I do have a brand new project that came out early this year that goes more in the alternative rock direction. It's Kevin Gruen and the Collective Conscious.
Really?
So that is actually the record I'm finishing right now. And I feel like the reason I started that record, right, was I kind of wanted the permission to go a little bit heavier and sort of break out of the box that I'm in with the whole Kevin Gruen, you know, brand as a songwriter. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of wanted permission to go a little bit more wild there and yeah. have that for all my more heavier rock and roll fans. You know, so so now I have Kevin Gruen and Kevin Gruen and the Collective Conscious, and that one has not caught on maybe quite as much yet, but it's brand new.
Now, who are some of the fellows, guys or girls that help you, the other musicians, whenever you perform?
Yeah, so I'd say James McBroom has been my drummer since, I mean, probably 3, 4, or 5 years. Mm-hmm. We've been together. We've been performing, I think, 4 years. Let's see, I have a lot of bassists come and go. Well, rotate, I would say. I've had 3 main bassists for the past 3 or 4 years, maybe 4, but 3 main ones. Derek Lauer has performed with me quite a bit in the beginning. Matthew Curry was one of the first ones I worked with in St. Charles. He's on Old Time Feeling, that record. That's all Matthew Curry.
I see.
Gosh, if you listen to anything in St. Louis, about half of those records are going to be him. Maybe the other half are Paul Niehaus, the other bassist I've been working with the past year or so. And he's great. He was the bassist for Jeremiah Johnson for some years. And he's had his fingers in just about every single piece of pie, it seems like, that St. Louis, too. So,
and we were talking before you came on, you're getting into some other ventures, some real estate ventures or something?
Yeah, not to say way too much about that, but I have some let's say I don't know, vacation rental, campground, things I'm wanting to do with music. That's as far as I'll go with it.
Okay.
A little teaser. Yeah, yeah. I'm combining some ideas, and I've had some business plans coming into play for the past, I don't know, probably decade, I'd say, because some ideas, you know, take a really long time to start kind of combining and really coming together and becoming practical, mm-hmm. and not just ideas. Yes. So.
Yeah, I've been working on a few of those.
I'm the ripe age of 28, and you know, last year I started getting into thinking about some of the long-term business ventures of mine and that kind of stuff. But it doesn't mean that the music is going anywhere. You know, I have so many albums written. It's just in my blood. I'm going to be playing music and performing forever. So, you know, that's part of me, and I always say I'm just getting started. So.
Are you? Yeah. Now, how old are you, Kevin?
I'm 28.
Oh, yeah, you're young.
I'm going to be 29 in 2 days here. So,
oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're
catching me right before my birthday.
Yeah, you're right before, 29 in 2 days. When were you?
13th.
On 13th, yeah.
Yeah, it's 11th, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Jenna's is on the 12th.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, and Katie's, she just had hers on the 7th.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
December's a good year. Where are you playing at next? What's your next big? You're going to play down in what? Do you say Kentucky or?
No, that will be the church in Tulsa, mm-hmm. Oklahoma.
Oh, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I would like to get the band on some stuff next year. I'm going to start working on that because, you know, I mean, there's lots of venues we haven't played yet. I would like to do off Broadway and some of the other ones in St. Louis. So earlier this year, we got to do Blueberry Hill Duck Room, which was a lot of fun.
Oh yeah.
Cause that's a historic venue.
Oh, it is.
And,
it's a great place.
I just wanted to play there so bad for years.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of a dream venue. I never knew what I was saying earlier. I never knew we would get to do Stifle before we did that one. So yeah.
What are some other good places in St. Louis that you've played?
Let's see. Gosh, maybe I'm blanking on it. I play the City Foundry quite often. They got a stage there set up for, you know, solo musicians and duos and trios and stuff. Trying to think about the other.
Or what's your general? Quite a few, you know? What's your some of the places that you play on a regular basis? Play at George's,
well,
pretty
I play
regular.
At George's, yeah, quite and regularly.
Do you play,
yeah,
you play at the Aries regularly too.
No, I haven't ever played at Aries. Okay. The Grafton Pub over there. Maybe you're thinking of the Grafton Pub because I do perform in Grafton pretty often. Grafton Pub, let's see. I have some others that are pretty regular. Sneakies in Edwardsville, I've been sticking with a lot.
Okay.
Those guys are awesome. We had a band show over there last year in their space, and everybody showed out for that. So right before the Busch Stadium shows. So
okay. The band show. What do you mean by band show?
We had a band show kind of to promote the Busch Stadium show we were doing that was coming up. And that's how we ended up doing the Stifle show. Was a series of Busch Stadium shows on the Budweiser Terrace. They put us on the Jumbotron going over the stadium and everything. It was really cool. So there were two rounds of that. We ended up coming in second place, voted by 93.7 The Bull. So that's how they ended up putting us on. Then this year we did Road to Point Fest at Pops, Pops Nightclub, which, you know, Pops is Pops, but yeah. There's some good guys over there, you know, and it's interesting. Depending on the show you go to there, it's completely different kind of crowds. And so I'm thinking that we'll probably do that again in the spring.
Hey, any tips or insight for young people wanting to get into music, maybe wanting to do shows, you know, to perform?
Yeah.
Any suggestions for
them? My biggest thing is I say just go out to open mics and meet as many people as possible. Because, you know, the majority of my shows have been booked almost entirely by word of mouth and people just liking what I do and telling other people and just being real. I mean, there's no amount of like Facebook ads or anything like that, you know, that could replace
relationships.
Yeah, relationships and getting to know people and just showing up and performing. And, you know, people like what you do and they tell other people.
Yeah, they talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than that.
No.
Really. Word of mouth is still beats everything, even in the most digital, you know, age.
Well, Kevin, so. I know we recorded this and you've got to go. Got to go play.
Yeah, so, yeah. I'll be at George's tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thanks for coming in. Appreciate it. And maybe we'll catch you later tonight.
Yeah, it's always great.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah.